Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
I'm testing. There we go. Am I on? There we go. I'm ready for Christmas. Anybody else ready for Christmas? Yes. And I really do hope you join us. Invite your friends and neighbors, even if they maybe don't know Jesus yet. It is the perfect time to invite them on December 1st. We are going to light up the night. We're going to have so many great things for your kids, families, pictures. It's just going to be a special night. So December 1st, please make it a priority and come. And something that we do want to highlight, thank you again, church, for your faithfulness in giving, and we want to update you on how we're doing with our offerings. And so I believe we have a slide for that that we could show you. So look at that. Isn't that amazing? Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Thank you for your faithfulness. So with just a couple weeks left, we're already at 64% of the budget, and that is a big deal. So we're grateful for all that God's doing and for your faithfulness, and just to see God provide, because He's Jehovah Jireh. Oh man, we're losing the power in that. Let's try that again. He's Jehovah Jireh. There we go. Like we mean it, because we do. He is our provider. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. You said pretty close to that. Pretty close to that. It's not over.
It's not over.
Now turn to your other neighbor and say, that's for you too. You didn't forget them. It's not over. Now, some of us who are single that came in, they're pretty excited about that. It's not over. It's not over. And for all of us, it's not over. Today, I have a message for you titled, It's Not Over. Because I believe that there are people that came in this morning, and there are situations in your life that would give you enough evidence to believe the lie that it's over. But we serve a God who actually says, it's not over. It's not over. I am not a gardener. I am not a botanist or bionist or whatever they call those. I looked up another word. I wanted to see if anybody knows what this word is. I'm so much not them, I can't even pronounce the word. The word is that's the one. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Horticulturist. Yes, that's it. And here's what a horticulturist is. They know how to put the gloves on, number one. I'm still working on this. As you can tell, gardening is not my favorite, but one of the traditions, wow, these are fresh. One of the traditions that our family does is around Mother's Day is we get Mael some new flowers. Any other men in the house take care of their brides this way? Now you will start doing that. So we do those every year, but around this time when the things start dying and the leaves start falling, and you start cleaning up everything, if you look around, you'll start noticing that some of the flowers die. They didn't make it. Now, some of us kill more flowers than others, and I would be one of them. And so a few years ago, I was going through our garden. I'd planted all these flowers and things that, I got to be honest, I don't have a garden. I never have had a garden. I couldn't even keep a garden somewhat alive. But instead, I had these little barrels. Okay, and I would put a few flowers in there, and they would grow, and Mael thought they were pretty, and they're great, and it was doing great. By the way, who has a great garden? Raise your hand if you're proud of your garden. Come, there we go. We have some people that are proud of their garden. Okay, we got some gardeners, okay. All right. Well, so it was about this time a couple years ago, and I look at the flowers, and I'm like, they're dead, like gone. So I just start taking them out, and I'm just throwing them in the garbage, you know, just dumping them, and I'm going through. And I ended up going to Home Depot that day. I forget what I was picking up. And I looked, and unbeknownst to me, that certain flowers, did you know this? that some flowers can come back the next year? I had no idea. I'm killing all of these flowers that were supposed to be good. Now, I learned this. You have something called annuals and perennials. Everybody knows this but me. I feel like there's been a secret. So I have been cutting, killing, destroying flowers for a long time. And I'm saying this year they're coming back in Jesus' name. I'm not touching them. They're going to live. I'm going to let them live. And I didn't know this, but I'm going to read this, and I'm sure some of you already know this. I'm telling by the response, a lot of people already know these things. So I'm learning as well. We're all growing. But a perennial is a plant that lives more than 2 years and regrows each spring. And the more I studied this, sorry, that doesn't work with the iPad, the more I started studying about perennials, did you know that there are over 29 different types of perennials? Oh, you did? Okay. I didn't know that. When I Googled it, I thought there would be like one. You're like, hey, I'm going to show you the one plant. There's a lot of them. And I know, right? Some of you are like shocked, and he's our pastor. Yes, I can teach you about the Bible, but flowers are just something we smile at, okay? But I think that's exactly what the enemy wants to lie about your story. That everybody, only a few, maybe one people get to come back. But actually, if you look around the pews and the stories, there are people after person after person after person that you have a comeback story. You have a story of God's faithfulness. When other people said, there's no way you're coming back, you bounce back. And what happens is the enemy wants to lie to you because you are now in a current state of mind or a current story or a current place in your life where there's not enough or you're not sure how you're going to make it. And what the enemy wants you to do is cut ties or tear up the roots and say, you know what? It's too far gone. There's no way. But I want to show you a picture of what God wants you to have in your life. Those are all perennials, and I'm not going to that garden and destroying them this fall. I want you to look at it really closely. Here's why. Your story on the outside, or maybe what you think it looks like to other people, right now, you may think it's dead, but God has this coming for you. Your marriage, you may think it's over. Come on, we can clap in a second. But God says this is coming. You may think that your finances are dead, but God says this is coming. Some people here think Portland's gone. This is coming. Some of you here, I need you to hear this. Some of you here, you're not sure if God's coming back. He's coming back. This is coming. This is coming. And today, one of our core values at our church is that we want to present hope to you. Because when you look down the aisles and you talk to people, maybe you're online watching this, there are so many people desperate and without hope. And I believe God has sent you to this church to sit in this moment and this time to tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. You are not an annual. You are a perennial. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a perennial. Yeah, say it just like that. And you may be saying, Pastor Nate, that gets me excited, but please tell me that in Scripture. Thank you for asking. Romans 8, 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is at work in your story. He's at work in my story. And he's not done. If you have your Bibles, there's another story I want you to hear this morning of a story that some people would have given up on, that some people would have thought, it is over. But as you read through the Bible, it's in 2 Kings chapter 4, you're going to see a story of a woman The Bible is called the Shunammite woman because she's from Shunem in 2 Kings 4. And what's interesting about her story, there's a lot of things that are interesting, but one of the things, the facts are, is that when Joshua takes back the land and he wins these battles, he starts divvying up the land. And one of the tribes, one of the people he gives a section of land to is Issachar, and that's where Shunem is. And the people that come through this lineage, they're actually known as super smart, bright people, and their work, what they contributed to the Jewish people, is still into effect today. In fact, the calendar system originated with them. So you see this woman being raised up. She's a well-to-do, strong. She's actually, some translations, they say she's wealthy. But as you start looking at her life, this Shunammite woman, God has his hand all over her. He's blessing her. He's using her to tell us a story today. In fact, when you look through, there's an article I read by the Jewish Women Archives, and it says that as they go through it, when King David was sick and old and about to die, maybe you remember this story, they bring a virgin in, and guess who she was? Abishag, a Shunammite. They link the two together, that this Shunammite woman and Abishag, that they were sisters. Why am I telling you all of this? Because I believe that there are people in this room that are listening to this message that you may not see yourself as somebody God can use, but God's in the business of using people that other people throw away, that other people forget. God is in the business of using male and female. And I want to be really clear, in our church, that's it. Male and female. Amen? It's so critical that you hear me when I say that. Because if you don't believe the truth about your identity in Christ, you will always be lost. And what ends up happening is culture will push things. And it's not the first time in history this has happened. But if you don't stand on the rock in Christ Jesus as your centerpiece for your life, what will end up happening is you will drift. And what will end up happening is you will miss out on what God has for you. And maybe you believe these lies, and I'm here today to tell you, you can come back. It's not over. It's not over. So this Shunammite woman, we don't even know her name, but she does some incredible things. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, one day Elisha, now Elisha is the prophet of God, he went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, ladies, just like the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, he may be the head, but she can turn the head any which way she wants. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp. Now, this is the kicker. It's not a man cave for him. It's for the prophet. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. Now, I want to pause right there in the story. It's important to hear. So, Elisha starts coming, and he's a prophet of God, and he's praying in this room. He's eating with them, and then he would go and do these things back and forth. And Elisha takes notice, and he realizes that she's the one that orchestrated all these things. And so he says, is there anything you want? Anything that I can ask the Lord to give you? And she says, no, I'm good. I'm good. My husband's wealthy. I've got everything I need. No problems here. We've got extra space. We are good. So then Elisha ignores her and asks his assistant Gehazi. He says, what can I give her? Then Elisha says this in verse 15. Call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway, and this is what she says. He says, about this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. Did she ask to have a baby? The answer is no, by the way. Some of you are like, I'm not sure, I don't know. No, she didn't ask. And listen to her reply to the prophet's word. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't, and this is the critical part, mislead your servant. Have you ever tried to argue with God's plans? All the time. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't even want this. But then God will show us something in his word. We'll be praying, and he'll say, I have this for you. And you're like, I didn't even ask for it. How would you give this to me? And then, lo and behold, verse 17, but the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Now, if we were to stop right there, we would say, wow, what a beautiful perennial. Gorgeous, amazing. Look at the daisies. Are they perennials? Nope. Shoot. They're annuals. Should have studied more flowers. Anyways. But I need you to hear this. God gave her a miracle that she didn't ask for. And then as you read through the story, the boy goes and works with her dad, with her husband. He's working in the field, and he says, my head, I got a headache. He sends him back to the house with his mom. He's laying down, and the boy dies. Have you ever been disappointed by God? It's okay to admit it. Have you ever been disappointed with your story? Have you ever been disappointed with the garden in your life? Nothing seems to grow. Nothing seems to work. And then somehow God gives us a miracle, and then it dies again. And people, if we don't continue the story, we end up with our lives uprooting our faith in Christ because we stopped when God said, keep walking with me. So the story goes, this man, the boy's dead, and she lays him down on Elisha's bed up on the roof. And I want you to hear her prayer, because she goes and she talks to Elisha. In verse 28, she says this. Did I ask for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hopes. And that right there is where a lot of people live, isn't it? Don't raise my hopes. You see, one of the things that we find with people is that we learn to live with a limp. We learn to live with the brokenness. We learn to live with the pain. We learn to live with the cycles. We learn to live with destruction. But I believe it's not over. I believe God has more. There is more for your story. The things that you've given up on, God's saying, I'm not done. And as you follow the story, Elisha lays on this boy, and he prays over him, and he breathes life into him, and he comes back to life. And he goes, here's your mom. And they're overjoyed. She's so excited. Now, if we were to stop right there, we'd think, what a cute, beautiful story. That's amazing. But there's more. I want to read you the next part. If you go forward, just four chapters, 2 Kings 8, it says this. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. She and her husband went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, She came back from the land of the Philistines and went to appeal to the king for her house and land. So are we getting the picture? There's a famine that comes. She has to leave. But when she comes back, everything that she had owned was gone. Have you ever felt like that in your story? Where things just like, man, God, what are you doing? Everything feels like it's gone. It's dry. It's dead. There's a famine spiritually in my life. She goes back. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, well, tell me about all the great things Elisha had done. Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and the land. Gehazi said, this is the woman! Could you imagine? She walks in the room and they're talking about you. Now this happens sometimes as a pastor, as a boss, quite frequently. I'm walking in and the room gets quiet. Anybody else ever have that happen to you? Parents? You walk in, it's like, oh, I guess we were talking. Hey, you finished your sentence. But in this circumstance, this is a good thing. He's talking about her story. This is the woman, my lord the king, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. Then the king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise for that. God's at work in your story. Even if you think you're an annual, God sees you as a perennial. There's more to your story. There's more to your story. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's more to your story. And I have three quick things I want to show you that I believe is for everyone today. Number one, God's more for our lives is not always what we ask for. God's more for our lives is not always what I ask for. She didn't want to get her hopes up. God was not answering a prayer she even prayed that we see in Scripture. And in the middle of it, she thought she lost her child. And oftentimes, it's in those moments where the disappointments of life come. And I don't know about you, but have you ever heard somebody say to you, I didn't ask for this? I didn't ask to be a part of this family. This wasn't the relationship. This wasn't the marriage I signed up for. Don't hit anybody. Come on. This wasn't the job I signed for. I thought I was going to be doing this, and I ended up doing that. I worked at a golf course for a little while, and I was really excited because I was going to get free golf. But then it rained, which, by the way, it rains in the Pacific Northwest. Did you know that? And the golf carts would get stuck on the driving range, so they made us handpick the range. They gave me a hard hat and told me to go pick up the balls. While they were still hitting, I didn't sign up for that. Ball landed right next to my foot. I walked off and said, it's not worth it. I didn't sign up for it. There are things that you don't sign up for, but you find yourself there. And it's in those moments you trust God more than ever. You hold on to Him. So what do we do when you don't sign up for something, but you find yourself there? What do you do? There's a pastor in Washington, D.C. His name's Mark Batterson, and we read his book this past year as a staff. It's called Win the Day. And he was talking about how he had had asthma all these years, and he'd struggling, but he'd run, and he'd work out, and he's trying to work it out. And when he was 40 years old, God healed him of asthma. Completely gone. He can run. No problem at all. And then just a few short days later, he finds out his wife has cancer. And he's just like, Lord, in the highs and the lows, there are times that I just want to quit. I'm not sure if I can make it. And his wife, as she's diagnosed with cancer, they're not sure what's going to happen. She reads a poem with this question. I think it's so important for all of us. When you face something that makes you want to quit, ask this question. What have you come to teach me? What have you come to teach me? And here's why I believe this. God is far more concerned about the transformation in you than the circumstances around you. I'm going to say that again. God is far more concerned about the transformation in you than the circumstances around you. Because if you're like me, you know what I want? God, get me out of this mess. Get me out of debt. Hello. When I'm sick and I'm not feeling well, and I'm laying on the thing and I have like a cold or a flu, my only prayer is, God, take this away or take me to heaven. I want the ejection seat. I want to get out. I don't want to stay in the struggle. But God is more concerned about my character, who I'm becoming, what I'm developing into. And God is in the business of transforming you into more like his son. And if you look at Jesus' life, suffering was a part of his story, wasn't it? And I don't say that to minimize it, but what I do say is this. God loves you. He has a plan for your life, and it's better than you thought. And he wants to do something deep inside of your life. So my prayer is for you, don't be an annual. Be a perennial. Why? Because you will not become a garden that will bless other people if you keep uprooting and quitting. If you give up. If you say, no, I don't want to. I want to do something different. I want to do something different. Stay planted. One of the most important things, if I could just encourage you, plant in the house of God. Find a community of believers that you can be here. Because what happens is people know you. I've been here, Mael and I have been here about 18 months now. And people are starting to get to know us. They get to see the good, the highs, the lows. We're not perfect people. We never were. And I got a newsflash. Neither were you. None of us are. Am I right? But we stay together. Why? Because God does something beautiful in us to produce an amazing light to this dark world. We are so much better together. But the enemy, what does he want to do? Divide us by the things we don't just quite agree on. But here's what I want to say. Ask the Lord, what have you come to teach me? What have you come to show me? Because he cares more about your heart and your character than just getting you out of the circumstances. Number two, God's more for our lives is not always the way I would choose. She lost her house. She had to go to a foreign land. She didn't choose that. She didn't choose the famine. She had to come back. And she's thinking, now I want you to put yourself in her shoes. You've lost everything. You're coming back and you're probably praying, God, please help me find a way to get my at least my house back. And when she walks in, Gehazi is telling a story about her. And not only does she get her house back, but she gets all of her money back too. Everything is given back. And I want to read this to you. Every testimony starts with a test. Pass the test, and you get a testimony. And a testimony is the way that you overcome, guess this, the next obstacle. This little story that I just told you, she had some pretty big obstacles in her life, and it's just a couple paragraphs. How about your life? I bet you've got some obstacles that you've overcome. Yeah. I bet you have some testimonies that you could share. Yeah. And when you do, and you overcome them, guess what happens? You get stronger. Right. And you have another obstacle to overcome. Some of us here, you have some relationships, man. If you're honest, Thanksgiving's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Some are like, And you're going to be around family. You're going to be around some people. And you're worried, what's the conversation going to be like? Now, don't say that to them. Don't you dare get them started on that. Because you're going to be around people that may disagree with you politically, your values, maybe even your faith. And how do we respond in the middle of all of that? Because you're going to be there. And here's what I want you to say. You ready? This is just critical. Thank you, Jesus. It's called Thanksgiving for a reason. We enter his presence with thanksgiving. What if you brought Jesus with you to Thanksgiving? What if you brought his presence with you to Thanksgiving? Because the presence of God, I want you to hear this, went before she did to the king. God goes before you. He's in front of you. He sees what you don't see. So instead of thinking, oh no, not them again, think, thank you, Jesus, for them. How can I be a light to them? How can I love them well? Now, don't hear that and say, oh, good, I have 20 points. I'm going to tell them all about it. Because I'm sure I'll convince them over a Thanksgiving meal. What if we prayed and just said, God, thank you for my family. There are people that don't have family. And maybe you're listening to this and you're like, Pastor Nate, I'm single. I'm not sure what I'm going to do on Thanksgiving. What if you thank God for that too? Because it's you and Jesus. You have a moment just with him. And God hears your prayers. He hears your cries. He knows exactly what you're going through. Loneliness is real. But that's why the word says that God comforts the brokenhearted. He puts the lonely and alone in family. This church can be your family. These people in this room can be your family. But it starts with an attitude of gratitude. You thank God for where you are. What do we have to be thankful for? One of the things I love about reading the Bible is it's kind of like a DVR. You can go back a little bit. And you go back. I want to remind you of what she said in 2 Kings 4:37. Her son had just been raised from the dead, and she fell at, it says this, she fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. When was the last time you thought about the goodness of God in your life and you were overwhelmed with gratitude? To the point where you fall to your knees and you say, God, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I'm breathing. I don't know how. I mean, if you knew my story, you would think there's no way I should be here. And God says, you're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. And when you're overwhelmed by the goodness and grace of God, you can't help but fall to your knees and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still breathing. I'm still here. He's not done with your story. God is not done with your story. The last thing that I want you to remember, God's more for our lives, number three. It's better than I deserve. It's called grace. She got her house, her child's alive, and I want you to hear this. Her story's still being told today. You are living a story that other people will talk about. It's a legacy. God's grace, he does things that we don't deserve. Just a few years ago, Mael and I, it was 2021, around Christmas time, and we've been praying. God put something in our hearts 6 months prior that someday, somehow, we would become lead pastors to a church. And we had no idea what was happening in the town called Portland. We didn't even know you were looking for a pastor. We were in Washington, the Tri-Cities, calling out to God. Mael and I were having serious discussion. What are we going to do? What's next? We're not sure how everything's going to play out. But we were trusting God. And I'm telling you, there were times where I felt like an annual. But God said, you're a perennial. And I'll never forget, in December the 28th, I got a call from Greg Inman, who's sitting right over there. And he said, hey, I want to talk to you about a Portland Christian Center. We're looking for a lead pastor. I was in my car. I had to like pull it over. I didn't want to get in an accident. It was like the Lord, I mean, there was all these other options that we had, and the moment he said that, my heart just leapt, and I came home, and I told Mael, and she told me later, she said, as soon as those words came out of your mouth, I said, that's it. She knew it. She knew it. Why am I telling you that? Because sometimes the dreams that are in your heart, when you face a lot of adversity, the temptation to close it is right in front of you. Yeah. And being completely transparent, there were many times when Mael and I looked at our story, and we thought it was time to end this journey of being lead pastors. We didn't know what was going to happen. But God. Yeah. But God in his faithfulness. Yeah. God in his grace. God in his love. And I tell you that as a testimony of his grace in my life. But all along the way, there were opportunity after opportunity for us to quit. And the same is true for you, isn't it? And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to hear. Your story is over. But the big idea this morning is very simple. There's more to your story. When we went to our previous church and told them, and we were transitioning off and getting ready to go, a family that had been mentoring Mael and I took us out for lunch. And I had no idea what it was. They had been lead pastors for over, I think it was over 35 years. They had just retired, and they knew what it was to be lead pastors. I think they were kind of nervous for us. They're like, do you know what you're getting into? And so they took us, they prayed for us, and they were all excited. And as we're walking out of this restaurant, I remember clear as day in Richland, Mod's Pizza. And we're walking out. Sorry, it's not a plug. I'm just telling you where it was. They hand us an envelope. And they said, I'll never forget this. They said, God has blessed us. And now I'm going to bless you. And we got in the car. There was $1,000 in that envelope. And it was like God saying, I see you, I'm blessing you, this is the path you're supposed to go, now go. I'm faithful, I'm with you. Some of you need to hear that this morning. God's grace is so much greater than the circumstance that you're facing right now. If I could have the worship team go ahead and come forward, I want to ask you a question. And maybe you're here this morning, and your story is more like this part of the story where it feels like something's died. Something's lost. Something's broken. And it would be really easy to treat it like an annual. It was good for 1 year, but it's done. But I believe God has you here for this moment in time to remind you that there's actually a perennial story in your life. He's not done. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. And definitely don't cut. Why? Because we serve a miraculous, wonder-working God who can raise the dead to life, who can heal you, who can restore you, who can set you free. I just talked to somebody today who's been sober for 15 years. It's amazing what God can do. But I know the temptation to quit is real. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Nate, I need, just completely honest, that temptation is so real right now. And if you would be completely honest with me, you just say, Pastor Nate, I need God's strength to believe that there's more to my story. There's more to the story of my marriage. There's more to the story of my family. There's more to the story of my finances. More to the story of my job. For some of you, it's your health. There's more to the story for your health. whatever it might be, if you're here today and you find yourself in that season of life where you need God's help to stay when you want to quit, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you right where you're seated. If that's you this morning, you need the encouragement of the Holy Spirit to stay. Thank you. Lots of hands. Anybody in the balcony, I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Lots of hands. Yeah, I see those hands. I see the lots of hands. All right, would you put your hands down? I'm going to pray for you, Father, right now. I pray for every person here that is going through a difficult time. Lord, I pray that they would know that there is more to their story. That you see them, that you love them, that you hear them, and that they are perennials. In Jesus' name, I pray that they would start to see doors open that no man can close. Relationships healed that have been broken for years, I pray that you would heal them, Lord Jesus. I pray your grace upon them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me, church? Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and stand. And before we worship, one of the things we like to do as we close is we love to worship God. But before we do that, I want to ask if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus. Next Sunday, we're going to baptize a bunch of people that have said yes to Jesus. And that could be you if you're here, you don't know Jesus, and you want to say yes to him. Would you raise your hand? This is a family of God. We just want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus and you want to make him your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand high so I can see it? Apparently last week, two people raised their hand and I missed it. So if that's you, would you raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Thank you. I see that hand. That's awesome. Let's go. Anybody else? Anybody? Yes, I see that hand. Let's go. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's amazing. So, church, would you repeat this prayer with me with the people that raised their hand? Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me clean. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. If you raised your hand, please do not leave until you've stopped by the hub and we have a gift for you. We want to pray with you. We want to talk with you on your way out. But for the rest of us, we have a moment in time right here to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's writing your story. And my prayer for you is that you would not miss this moment, that you would not miss this opportunity. There's a story in the Bible where a man was demon-possessed with 6,000 demons. And he ran before Jesus and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that he worshiped him. He had 6,000 demons trying to stop him. And he still worshiped Jesus. Do you have an excuse of why you wouldn't worship Jesus? I know I don't anymore. He's not done with your story. He's not done with my story. Would you just spend a few moments worshiping the King of Kings? Do you think he's worthy of that? Do you think he deserves your praise? We don't just do this to go through the motions. This is a holy moment with your Creator who says, you are the one I love. You're the one I died for. You're the one I gave my life for. Let's just spend a few moments. Would you lift your hands with me, church? And let's express our love, our gratitude, our praise to him. And let's sing it out.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.